Welcome to the Leading Visionaries Podcast, featuring stellar conversations with emerging and established leading visionaries. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate and spotlight the leading visionaries who are thinking differently, seeing new possibilities, have the courage to dream big, take inspired action, and create conscious change all around the world. Now, here's your host, Angel B. Hartwell.
Welcome to another episode of the Leading Visionaries Podcast, where we celebrate the ingenious, insightful, innovative, and inspired leading visionaries of our time and provide our listeners with world-class examples of the kind of courage, clarity, and confidence it takes to bring visions into reality. This is your host, Angel B. Hartwell, and today we welcome our special guest, Coda Pip. Coda teaches people how to wield language to enroll others in their power and gift to the world. He's built corporations in critical industries and deployed capital along data-driven strategies to drive value and culture towards durable structures of the future our children will inherit. He partners with Flow Genome Project to deliver peak performance and leadership training from the boardroom to the backcountry so teams can train to lead through fire. He also consults with funds and IP deployment pipelines to incentivize a biodiversity-driven economy with regenerative and durable infrastructure for our societies. I had the pleasure of meeting Coda several years ago and was incredibly just blown away by his brilliance and his vision and his confidence and his clarity of purpose. And so I'm so glad to have you with us today. Thank you for being here, Coda.
I'm very grateful to be here, Angel. Thank you for reaching back out and maintaining the connection over the years, really. Mm-hmm. And I must say, like, the impact you had on my life is significant. So immense gratitude to be here today with you and share with others.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I want to start, Coda, by asking you about your experience with vision. Were you visionary as a child? Did vision suddenly start to emerge in you in your adolescence or your young adulthood? Help us to hear a little bit about your experience with your own vision getting and how you have navigated that.
Oh, I love this question. So my experiences with vision definitely started when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I was always a very lucid dreamer. And I remember distinctly before puberty onset, I would look in the mirror and I could see myself with very similar beard that I have now. And I remember just feeling the possibility of that coming in. And then when I went through that, you know, 11, 12 year old phase, the facial hair came in by 14, exactly how I had envisioned it. And I said, there's something to this visioning process. As I grew older, that was deployed more specifically when I would grapple with larger concepts and philosophies. I would think in a visual manner. I would think with geometry and 3D transformations of objects in my mind, but I was dealing with content, with language. And I just thought everyone did that until later I learned that individuals who can think geometrically have an efficiency to really the calories we burn when thinking. So there's an advantage to that. And it's continued to serve me. I just play with the actual visual and then felt experience of a possible future until it feels right, until it feels true. And then the words to articulate that can come from an embodied place, and I can communicate effectively from that.
Beautiful. So what I'm hearing there is you have a kind of a dual relationship with vision. I'm hearing, number one, you receive vision, and number two, you work with visions that you also generate. Am I hearing that clearly?
Precisely. Yeah. You know, when we were first connecting, I had the wearable design studio called Sulyana Technologies, and I would go into meditations and ask for an adornment, and I would get these jewelry, and then I would come out and draw them and then go to the team and look at the spatial requirements and microcircuitry and components and whatnot, that we could actually do that or not. And it was very much a guided business. So yeah, you're hearing correctly. Definitely a visioneer. Of sorts.
A visionaire. I love it. So on the side of receiving vision, how have you either been stymied with that from others or encouraged in that from others?
That's a good question. So stymied would be when I'm speaking into someone's listening where that listening is fixed and they don't see the possible journey from where we are to where we could be. And I need to create spaciousness and really open up and almost do coaching inside of their framework to create space for that vision to even be accepted. And then your other question was, how has that been maybe nurtured, right? How has that been supported?
Yeah. Yeah.
When I encounter truly infinite game players that are optimistic and growth minded, it's a conversation of learning. And then they can not only receive the vision, they can play with it, share their vision, and we can kind of calibrate one another's perspective together. And the game isn't who's right, who's wrong. The game is, oh, this, I see that. How can we make this more high resolution such that it's operational? And that's the creative process.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and you use the key word there, the people that where you're stymied is they don't see. And the people that you are nurtured by and the environments you're nurtured by is others who do see. So I love that clarity. Now let's talk a little bit about leadership, because you are also and have also been an incredible leader at a very young age. And so I'd love to hear you speak about the journey into leadership. Were you always a leader? Like, were you the kid who was like rounding everybody up and saying, we're going to do this? Or did the leadership emerge later on as well?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So I was a bit of a leader on the playground in school for sure. And that came from me just not understanding why people weren't in the group and why people weren't fitting in. So I was able to connect, build empathy and compassion to those outliers and then loop them in and almost enroll the group in how awesome this other person was. And I didn't know what I was doing. I just thought I was making a cool play environment for us in elementary school. But that then continued into high school. And there were points where I would have a group of friends around me who I just was convinced of their genius and their value. And then they individually maybe weren't holding that certainty or conviction. And then because I was able to see them, they were able to be seen by others. And I was a leader of a pack. And then I became this ambassador because I was always a social butterfly. So I would be in all the different groups. And then I would bring these friends who are from another group, merging the tribes. So I was always that. And when it came to teams and professional value creation, the ability to really see the genius and the technical skill of these individuals that are so specialized, they may have atrophied in some other capacities. That is why they follow. When you can really get an engineer and how and why they think and do, then you can communicate where they have maybe a deficit to communicate what they do. And you can assemble teams that are aligned and you can call on the right expertise at the right time because you have that trust. We can go deeply into these trust equations we talk about at Flow Genome with credibility, reliability, empathy divided by self-interest and how that has a bit of a tool to really analyze where you have trust and don't have trust. But I should just say trust is critical when you're leading into the unknown, which is business and is often life.
And vision. All vision, from my perspective, is new. It's coming in from the unknown. And in order to create it into the known world, we have to be able to traffic in the unknown and feel confident and trusting in ourselves. So let's talk about trusting in yourself. Like, let's start at the baseline here, because for any leading visionary who's listening or anybody who's leading other visionaries, I feel, and I think that you also do, as you've just expressed, that trust is the underpinning of this. So how do you help people to build self-trust? And how do you build self-trust for yourself, for and with yourself?
Yeah, self-trust, the first thing that comes up is rapport. And we have rapport between our subconscious, our conscious. We have rapport between our body and our mind. And the more clear we can get in that listening, what is our body saying? What are these symbols in the dream space? What do they actually mean, the language of the body? And what is the subconscious bringing to our awareness? What is that reticular activating system highlighting and making sense of, and why? Right? When we have that rapport, then we can start that dialogue, right? So that's the self-trust. When I help people really look at, okay, this is what I'm noticing, this is what I'm experiencing, I don't know what it means, can you help? That's the question asking. That's the inspired guidance that I can offer just by being in it with them. And sometimes we don't have that rapport, and we don't actually hear what our subconscious or our body is saying. And then we don't trust ourselves. We don't have conviction. Mm-hmm. So when we do really learn to listen and receive from ourself to ourself, then we become a force of nature.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Right? I love that. Yeah, I would say that for myself as well. When the knowing comes, I know. And when I know, you know, get out of my way. It's like, get out of my way. I know. This is what I know. So, you know, one of the challenges often I find for leading visionaries is enrolling other people into our knowing, right? So can we speak a little bit about that? Like, there seems to me to be a magical alignment that can be collaboratively created that allows for that enrollment. And it feels to me like you hold a key to that.
Oh, thank you. With enrollment, there's really, do we get one another? Do we get it? Do I feel gotten by the person I'm speaking to? And then do I actually get them such that I can speak with them? And to get somebody, we have to really have the truth in what we're saying. So there's a piece where we meet someone where they're at and pattern map our language onto their language. And there's a piece where we actually open up a possibility in language and action that seems accessible and seems valuable. So we must go deeper into the truth of it and be clear in communicating what that truth is, such that the other person gets it, receives it, integrates it, and then we watch the alignment happen. It's a chiropractor putting something back in place, and then boom, the system can self-heal and self-regulate more effectively.
Beautiful.
So yeah, enrollment is that possibility for sure.
I love it. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're already at the break, but when we come back, We're going to talk more about the work that you do and the people you do it with. Right now, though, listeners, are you a leading visionary or in the role of leading other visionaries? Consider joining our community and sharing your feedback and takeaways from each episode. We invite you to join us and support this podcast by making a donation at leadingvisionariespodcast.com. Interested in finding out more about how you can receive support for getting your vision out of the air and onto the ground? You can apply to qualify for a complimentary consultation with me or a member of my team by clicking on the Connect with Angel button on the website. Be sure to share this show in your own spirals of influence with the people who you think might benefit from our content. I want to say a huge thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We're welcoming thousands and thousands of downloads from all over the world. And I am really excited because we are now up to 19 countries. So we're going to shout out this week to our listeners in the UK, Italy, and Singapore. And we will be right back with Coda Pip.
The Leading Visionaries podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Are you the one who thinks differently, who is called to create a significant conscious change in the world, who is seeing and dreaming of a better way for your industry, your community, humanity? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to guide leading visionaries just like you who want to break through the static in order to clearly express and confidently enroll support for their vision in a way that makes it inevitable that it will come to pass. Your word is your wand, and as the leader, your ability to articulate and communicate your vision is essential to its materialization and monetization. Please enjoy with our compliments a free copy of the book, Be Heard by Millions and Live Your Destiny, which was a number one new release in three categories to get you started. The book is yours by visiting gift.leadingvisionariespodcast.com.
And we are back with Coda Pip. You can find out more about Coda and all of the things that he is up to at his website, CodaPip.com. Dr. Jeff Lewis.com. We will have that for you in the show notes, and you can connect with him on all of his social media platforms through that website as well. I see a lot of fun things he has going on Instagram myself. So go to CodaPip.com to find out more about what Coda is up to. So let's talk now, Coda, about what are people going to find when they get to your website? Who are the people who you're most aligned with serving and supporting?
Yeah, great question. So most recently, I've been opening to different avatars coming in, but my real resonance has historically been with those visionary builders who are just can't let go of the possibility they see. They see a world that works for everybody, that flourishes, that has diverse ideology and durable systems that we're honored to pass on to the next generation, leaving it better than we found it. And in that archetype, there is a lot of noise when the culture is noisy and unclear. So I often call myself a sense maker, allowing folks to make sense of it all. And that starts, as we've already spoken about, with relationship to self. And from relationship to self, relationship to others, the construction of teams, and the clarity of your mission, right? We must make sense of each layer of that stack so we can enable a conviction of being. So that's really what I do. And it will look unique to each individual. There may be some real relationship stuff to work on, masculine and feminine polarity, romantic and professional. There may be clear distinctions that we need to put in place, but trust that affects every layer of the stack. How we are in one place is how we are in another. How we do anything is how we do everything. And when we get these distinctions, these can often be words, they can often be embodiment practices and sensations, but in the domain of words, the world is made of words. So when we know the world, we can make the world. So that's what I help people do, is find the words so they can have that relationship to self, others, teams, and mission.
Beautiful. Well, what I'm hearing there also, Coda, is this awareness that if there's a distortion at the core within the individual who is holding the vision, if there's a distortion within the self, that distortion, as you add on these other layers, the other, the team, the mission, that distortion becomes even more distorted and it becomes even more difficult to actually manifest the vision in its fullness. Am I hearing that correctly?
100%, Angel.
Great. So can you talk a little bit about some of the distortions that you have seen and how you have helped people to harmonize out of those distortions, whether it's Definitely. Through energetics or embodiment or words or all of the above?
Definitely. So I should preface this and say, you know, I've spent the better part of a decade working with ceremonial technologies and indigenous communities around the world. Before that, I was really deep into hypnosis, neurolinguistic programming, and the various techno tools that facilitate that or complement that, binaural beats, sound, haptics, etc. So I had a very unique journey through the Amazon for several months, and now I'm a sun dancer with the Lakota. So what I end up working with people around most often has been this distinction between addictions and commitments. And your life is really run by one or the other. What are you really committed to? And if you're not in that commitment, then you're in your addictions. And with men, that has been a lot of the objectification and commodification of relationship in our society. That's been a lot of deviance and pornography addiction. That's been objectification of women or whatever their romantic partnership avatar is. And really getting clear on why that is where they're sourcing from, as opposed to having inner integrity and being in the world in relationship to others. And when we get clear on that distortion, as you mentioned, then they can be unleashed and be in the world and be social and be connected and be enrolling. But the consciousness around that addiction is often subconscious or unconscious. And there's often a wound that it is attached to. And when we are attached to those wounds, to actually heal and integrate it, we need to release. And that's loving awareness. That's presence of being. So when we don't let go of that addiction, we then have this extra investment in all of the intellectual contrivances that have allowed us to maintain that ego structure. And now we're up surfing the ceiling, as you say, with we're reaching for the esoteric and the mystic, which has validity, but will never materialize until we are grounded in our being, which means integrated in our wounds and our traumas and in our real commitments. So we go deep such that we can fly stable and high together.
Mm, beautiful. And naturally high, not exactly. Not artificially high.
Thank right? you for the clarity there. Yes.
Clarity is divinity. All right. Well, you know, I could spend hours and hours talking with you, Kota. So I want to take us now to when I read your bio, you consult with funds and IP deployment pipelines. So let's talk a little bit about what that looks like. Is that, are you saying that you speak to or work with the executives, the visionaries who are leading those initiatives? Or can you talk a little bit more about the money side of things? Mm-hmm. Because sure, I think sure. for many leading visionaries, there's a money distortion. And so I'd love to have your point of view on that and how you might help around adjusting those money distortions and harmonizing those money distortions so that actual cash comes in, you know, either through funding or sales or however it needs to come in to materialize the vision in a sustainable way.
Sure. Thank you. So money is a flow of energy. Right? We know this. And the ecosystems, energy flows, nutrients flow. This is a natural process. These transactions are what happens in nature at all times. So it's a very clean and divine word. And when we have a real conviction that is anchored in a real vision of a possibility that many folks are enrolled in, and we maintain a commitment to that conviction, the money will flow to support us because we are supported. Mm-hmm. Now, when we don't have that commitment, and we are in our addiction, there's a block to that money flowing because that money might get splintered into those addictions as opposed to flowing into the actual commitment. So again, going back into these, the commitment addiction distinction. Now, just for kind of credentialing in the space, after being a serial entrepreneur in government technology, homeless services, client management systems, and then wearable device design, I moved into the investment side, did an M&A fund in biohacking and wellness modalities, and then was scouted and merged with a fund of funds in AI and biotechnology. So I learned a lot about deal structures and strategy, different financial instruments and how to use debt effectively and how to work with IP and different containers to really maximal leverage for a system, a technology, such that it can be deployed where it was needed yesterday. And financial enablement is, it's complicated, but there are many folks that can help with that. And every jurisdiction has different laws and different regulations that you must comply with. And there are also new and emergent technologies in the space. So from working in that industry, I have a significant network. And I'm confident that when the individual is ready for the transformation that is a component of receiving capital, then we can make the introductions and build the relationships that will fund the team and the mission. Mm. But this is all in the stack. Mm. So first, we need to get the individual right for that quantum acceleration to be able to now have responsibility and stewardship of a flow of energy that is a much higher velocity flow. It's like you're now paddling in a little stream and then you're going into the deep water when you receive your first check. And are you going to be stable in your ship or your team in that deep water? So a lot of this is getting clear on your commitments so that when more energy flows through those commitments, we maintain stability.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I've, you know, there's somebody said it, I don't know who, I can't quote it, but, you know, money just amplifies everything, right? And so we come back to this idea of capacity with the self. And so in the last couple of minutes that we have, Kota, I would love to hear, what are you about right now? What are you up to right now to improve, increase, and expand your own capacity?
Yeah. So I have been a raving fan of mentor Jamie Wheel and his Flow Genome Project. Now I'm on the team bringing them to corporations. It's another tool I have. So yes, introductions to capital. Yes, individual work and guidance and coaching mentorship. But also when I talk to funds about their teams and the psychology and the challenges. How often are you herding cats in your portfolio companies? Well, that's where I can call on Flow Genome and say, let's build a bespoke offering for your team to have culture. And as I've done for the last few years, take corporate executives and teams out into nature, talk about grounding. And that's where outdoor leadership skills, following the trail, understanding your water, understanding your food, team dynamics, psychology, all of that is applicable in the business environment. So I am becoming, and I've always been interested in nature, but now I'm becoming a bit of an outdoor leadership guide here and up leveling in that space because I see immense synergy with all things business. So that's really the answer. I've just been in the Flow Genome Project. And I should also mention that they're just absolute nerds on meta-analysis and sense-making as well. So when you talk about thinking, how can we bring in Occam's razor and Pascal's wager, right? How can we understand what do we really know? What level of verification, validation, replication is needed to truly operationalize this? And what are the chances we're wrong? And how might that inform how we move? So bringing in some of this intellectual horsepower has been really satisfying. So I'm really up to Flow Genome Project, and I'm still very committed in my Sundance. I'm on the third year. So and for those who don't know what that is, I'm happy to talk more, but it's a masculine initiation in the Lakota community.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, we are at the end, Coda. Again, as I said earlier, we could talk for hours, but we are going to have to close this episode. Listeners, we do love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show by joining our community, sharing your takeaways, asking questions, or submitting guest suggestions. You can weave your visionary thread into our fabric by opting in on our website at leadingvisionariespodcast.com or by interacting with us on social. Look for the handle at Leading Visionaries Podcast on all the major platforms. I'm so delighted that you were with us today. Coda, thank you so much for being here. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. Keep your eyes, ears, and hearts open. And remember, you are here to create conscious change.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to rate and review Leading Visionaries on Apple Podcasts and share with other people you know who can benefit from today's episode. Leading Visionaries is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leading visionaries who are called to create conscious change and know that now is the best time to welcome wealth and cultivate a web of collaborative support to bring their vision to life. We invite your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of new episodes at leadingvisionariespodcast.com.